This is South Carolina Sunrise, a part of an archive broadcast, Nature of Things, from September 11th, 1992.
I arose at 6 a.m. on September 2nd. My purpose was to watch a southern sunrise to see what difference, if any, a shift of 12 degrees in latitude would make. Of course, 6 o'clock on a September day is a bit too early to make that determination. On September 2nd, the stars were still shining in the western sky. When I did finally venture forth from the apartment door at 6:30 a.m., the eastern horizon was beginning to light up. A thin ground fog blurred the edges of the streetlights. The dew was heavy enough for a steady drip from the leaves of the shrubbery surrounding the building. This was far from a wild setting, but the building did back up on a fine woods of red, black, white oak, gum trees, hickory, tulip trees, and scattered pines. Under, in addition to seedling oaks, gums, and tulip trees, was a layer of sassafras, flowering dogwood, and varied vines, including grape, sweetbriar, honeysuckle, and poison ivy. The first sounds that greeted my ears was that inevitable mixture of katydids, grasshoppers, crickets, and who knows what other creatures that assail balmy southern summer nights. I turned on my hearing device and immediately found the chorus augmented two or threefold by a high-pitched drone that had escaped my age-dimmed ears. There was another lower-pitched drone, which I presumed to be the sounds of traffic on Interstate 77, some 3 or 4 miles distant. There was enough light so that I could find myself a proper vantage point, the recumbent trunk of a sycamore tree, which had been leveled but not killed by Hurricane Hugo. This recumbent tree, some 15 inches in diameter, still retained enough root contact with the soil to support a modest growth of suckers and leafy branches. I had gotten thoroughly dampened from the thighs down in negotiating the weedy growth between the road shoulder and the sycamore, so I pulled myself up on the trunk to dry out and to wait for the break of day. A couple of unidentifiable birds fluttered across before me, but they never really emerged from the night shadows. Then a tufted titmouse, somewhere close at hand, called brightly. Peter, Peter, Peter. After a short delay, a cardinal answered from across the road. Purdy, purdy, purdy. I doubt that the cardinal's name was Peter, but then cardinals are never reluctant to proclaim what is obvious to all of us, their beauty. This exchange seemed to signal the reveille, for a number of voices joined in, including mockingbird, blue jay, and crow. Overhead in a dead snag, a downy woodpecker uttered a couple of sharp alarm notes and then began to tap gently on a resonant stub. I waited expectantly for the call of a red-bellied or perhaps a pileated woodpecker or even a flicker, but this seemed not to be the morning for that. By now the sun had begun to emerge, but it was a misty and unspectacular sunrise, except for the glint of the dew as heavy as gravity and surface tension would allow. The dewdrops formed a thousand prisms, which drew rainbows from the rosy sunlight. As the light increased, I began to notice the flowers around me, at least a dozen and a half species from my vantage point, some quite familiar, some unknown to me, all quite fascinating, and withal, much more colorful than I could find in our northern woods edges at this time of the year. Even though the red, silty sand was quite dry, there were a number of species usually associated with wetlands, round-stemmed bulrushes, needlerushes, sedges, broadleaf cattails, and white-flowered peppergrass surrounded my vantage point. A few yards away were some of the brightest spotted touch-me-nots I'd ever seen, and several yards distant, a few blue monkey flowers standing above the smartweed. Then, as the sun reached the point where the last deep shadows had been cleared away, it found a single spire of blood-red cardinal flower, like a beacon in the morning fog. Looking around, I could now see a great variety of blooms I hadn't noticed before, yellow partridge pea, and its less showy cousin, wild sensitive plant, both showing the mimosa, I guess you'd say, locust-type foliage, blue lobelia, the downy variety, pink wild bean, and beach pea, in an open expanse of red sand, and near my feet a single sky blue dayflower. A full spectrum of colors and an amazing variety of interesting forms. Meanwhile, the bird chorus had reached a crescendo, but there were few full songs, just snippets of brilliant carols, a caw of crows and a mixture of warning notes, some familiar and some not recognizable. I could recognize the downy, a nuthatch, a grackle, and a few tentative notes from a tree frog. I was amazed that the traffic noise had dropped to about half when it should have been increasing, but then I realized that the drop in the noise had coincided with the street lights going out. My bird listening device had been picking up some kind of electronic buzz from the street lights. With that mundane reminder of the world to my right, I took leave of that leafy, colorful, sibilant world to my left. It was time for breakfast. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.